A reading from the book of the Apocalypse. I, John, saw another angel rising where the sun rises, carrying the seal of the living God. He called in a powerful voice to the four angels whose duty it was to devastate land and sea. Wait before you do any damage on land or at sea or to the trees until we have put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard how many were sealed, 140,000 out of all the tribes of Israel. After that, I saw a huge number, impossible to count, of people from every nation, race, tribe, and language. They were standing in front of the throne and in front of the Lamb, dressed in white robes and holding palms in their hands. They shouted aloud, "Victory to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels who were standing in a circle round the throne, surrounding the elders and the four animals, prostrated themselves before the throne and touched the ground with their foreheads, worshiping God with these words, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen." One of the elders then spoke and asked me, "Do you know who these people are, dressed in white robes, and where they've come from?" I answered him, "You can tell me, my Lord." Then he said, "These are the people who have been through the great persecution, and they have washed their robes white again in the blood of the Lamb." This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. Think of the love that the Father has lavished on us by letting us be called God's children, and that is what we are. Because the world refused to acknowledge him, therefore it does not acknowledge us. My dear people, we are already the children of God, but what we are to be in the future has not yet been revealed. All we know is that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he really is. Surely everyone who entertains this hope must purify himself, must try to be as pure as Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up the hill. There he sat down and was joined by his disciples. Then he began to speak. This is what he taught them. How happy are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy the gentle. They shall have the earth for their heritage. Happy those who mourn. They shall be comforted. Happy those who hunger and thirst for what is right. They shall be satisfied. Happy the merciful. They shall have mercy shown them. Happy the pure in heart. They shall see God. Happy the peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. Happy those who are persecuted in the cause of right. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are you when people abuse you and persecute you and speak all kinds of calumny against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. It's nice to hear the song of heaven, Alleluia, because I'm not quite sure what to make of Halloween. I think there was a time when it seemed to be just a bit of fun. But Americanization of it seems far more sinister and for some frightening and alarming. And if you read that, according to consumer research, British consumers were on track to spend $2 million on fancy dress. Other spending on Halloween has rocketed from 2001, 12 million, to 195 million last year and expected to top 235 million this year. That's just in this country, well, in the UK, on Halloween. And it does prompt you to say, what actually is going on? Because you can't pass a supermarket, a shop, a baker's shop, whatever shop it is, without noticing the displays of ghostly items for sale, to wear, to eat, or whatever. And the research went on to say, because it's since the bank holiday, it's our first excuse to celebrate. But what are they celebrating? Ghosts, ghoulies, skeletons, evil, wickedness? Is it all just fun? And let me prompt the question, because I'm always conscious that the church so often seems to be a killjoy on so much pleasure. And yet, we always need to be mindful. There's a nagging little thing in my mind that for evil to prosper, it only then needs the good people to do nothing. But we don't do nothing, because we're celebrating, and we need to remember that. That's why it was lovely to hear, as we do every week, the song of heaven, the Alleluia. Because our celebration today is that of the All Holies, the all sanctified, sanctus sanctus, the hallowed ones, hallowed be thy name, those that have followed the Lord closely in their lives, and those of every time, of every place, of every nation, of every tribe and tongue. And in a sense, the saints, of course, are our success stories. But it's very different, the success that they speak of and illustrate to us, from the success of celebrity culture that will give you 15 minutes on the television to be famous. Few people say to me as they watch the Island Parish, oh, we've not been in it. And I said, no, and we're not likely to be. Because I'll tell you what happened. The producer rang me and said, we'd love to, you know, now we've done the method, we've done the Anglican man, we've done the Methodist man, it's your turn. And I spoke to the people on Scilly, and they all said with one voice, you can film us coming to church, you can film us joining Mass, you're not putting our lives under the spotlight to destroy it. And I said that to him, and he wasn't very pleased. Needless to say, we're not in the show. Because 15 minutes of that, what Jesus offers is a lifetime. And even in secular Protestant Britain, we've just had the visit of the relics of a fairly modern saint, Saint Teresa of Lisieux, the little flower. And Archbishop Nichols said that what he acknowledged was the bafflement that some had found by the tour of the relics. Over 250,000 people visited. Many spoke of the extraordinary effect it had, a great calm and a great peace. Some were saying that youths were in tears, the confession lines were very long. And of course, naturally, everybody experienced things differently, but it did have an effect. And as she said in her short life, which was only 24 years, that I want to spend my time in heaven doing good on earth. I want to preach the gospel to the five continents. That's why she's going around to the different continents. Needless to say, the media reacted in varied and different ways. Some chose to ignore it. Some highlighted just when maybe it came into their part of England, their television network area. Some welcomed the visit and thought it was a great privilege of her coming here. But those that welcomed it were much outnumbered, of course, by those who wrote skeptically and even aggressively about superstition and a return to medieval type of religion that has no place in modern Britain in the 21st century. But what's their take on Halloween? Oh, that's all right. Need to bear that in mind. And so the saints is what we concentrate on. Halloween comes from the glory of the saints, but that, of course, is not what they acknowledge. In exactly the same way, today, we almost need to put on our Christmas greetings, Jesus is the reason for the season. So the saints are the reason that people keep Halloween. And so the saints' pointers, I want to just pick on three things and just skirt over them. But it's faith, love, and heaven. Faith in God, who is love, and as our Father in heaven. When he was preaching at the final Mass, Archbishop Nichols said that it was an ancient expression of faith in God's transforming presence in the midst of human failure. And in many ways, maybe what they're celebrating in Halloween is actually human failure. But what we're celebrating is God's way of opening our hearts to his unwavering love. Because St. Teresa spoke of love is the key. Because God is love. And this is about faith in God. The saints, those who are faithful. The question to be asked is not, have you been successful? Have you had your 15 minutes on the telly? But have you been faithful? Well done, good and faithful servant. And as I said at the beginning, we shall sing as we go out, we feebly struggle. And it can be a struggle and a battle to walk along that way of the cross, because that's what Jesus is offering us. But that's the faith we have in a God who loves us so much that he sent his son as to how to behave. But he sent his son in order that what he has, where he has gone, we hope to follow. In a sense, I suppose, All Saints Day gathers up the different festivals they come along so that as we walk that way with Jesus, we long to be with him and receive his crown, the crown of eternal life. But the way to get there, Jesus lays before us in those, what I've always called before, the beautiful attitudes, the Beatitudes, beautiful attitudes to have on our journey through life. To have the regard for a poverty of spirit, a humility that comes from Jesus. That sends us dependence on God, faith in God. If we're gentle, not aggressive and violent people. If we weep and mourn for the sheer lack of justice in the world, even when we're persecuted,